Bible in front of you, please, and we're going to focus in a few minutes on the passage from Psalm 33. But let's first of all turn to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our creator, but you're also our Father. Please, Lord, help us to know what that means in our day-to-day lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You live, or rather, you lived on one of the small islands in the Caribbean. Your home has been destroyed by Hurricane Irma. All your possessions are gone. You may well ask, where is God? You go to work in the middle of the day and you receive a visit from the police to inform you that your husband, wife, or your child has been involved in a serious road traffic incident. You get to hospital as fast as you can, but you get there too late. Where is God? You seek to live as a Christian each day, but you have a constant battle, a battle within. As you go in your faith, it causes doubt. It causes real agony and hurt, as you can't seem to escape. You feel worthless. Where is God? Well, such situations and similar situations you and I have faced, may be facing today, and may well face in the future, are at the forefront as we look at this section of the Creed that's our focus today. I think it's perhaps the most challenging part of the Creed, yet also I think it's the most reassuring part and the part that can give us real hope. This is our third sermon in the series on the Creed, and we're actually returning to the first line of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Christine's sermon last week and at the 9:30 on the 3rd of September focused on the creation aspect. And the key thing with that is whatever theory or idea we have about creation, God is creator. And because of that, he's overall and he's worthy of praise. As Christine said, there isn't Mother Earth, that's Greek mythology, but there is a Father God. And this first line of the Creed, it straightaway tells us that God is our Father. God is a creator who rules, but also a father who loves. So as we look at this line of the Creed today, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What we're focusing on today is the outworking of that in terms of God being sovereign. For in saying this, we're saying God created the world, but he's also in control and over the world today as well. That nothing happens outside of God's control, including those scenarios I mentioned at the start. It's not only a call to believe, but it's a call to trust. Because inevitably, we forget that God is the one who's sovereign, who's over all, in all the blessings and the good times of life. It tends to be the focus in the bad times. When we ask, why doesn't God do something about it? There's not too much time to go into all the detail now, but there's two parts to that, really, in terms of the big picture and what happens in the world, the terrible things that happen. God, of course, could do something right here and now. He could get rid of sin in the world. He could get rid of all of us because we're sinful. So God could do that now. He could do it today. One day he will do it. But God has done something about the sin and the horrors of the world. He gave his only son so that we can be forgiven, so that we can know the hope that's only found in Jesus. And in the meantime, God is patient. God is patient so we have time to turn to him and to know his love and his grace and his mercy. I wonder if you notice when we say the normal creed, I think actually it's a different type of creed today, but in the response creed that we usually have, we say we believe. But actually the question we're asked is, do you believe and trust? Do you believe and trust in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Because the idea of God as creator might be something we're okay with, and we might have the idea that God made the world, he kind of wound it up, and now the world's happening. But actually, this is a call to trust that God not only made the world, but he is in control of the world and everything that takes place today. The good, the bad. But we need to be clear that God does not do evil. God is holy. God does not do bad because God is good. But the bad things that happen in the world and not somehow beyond God's control, that he's impotent and he can't intervene. But somehow God allows those events to happen. God is in all and over all. I think it's the most hopeful yet the most challenging message we can hear. Why is it hopeful? Well, if God is in control of everything, then his promises are true. His promise of forgiveness. His promise that he's with us in any and every situation. He's also the one who is over all in the blessings we experience here and now. If we experience the blessing of marriage, of parenthood, family life, those moments of pure joy, God is over all and in those events as well. But there's a challenge in the pain, in the loss, in the grief. Although God is not responsible, it's actually a result of sin in general, of mankind, he in a sense allows it to happen. God does not promise, and he never has promised, to take it away in this life. But he is with us. If God isn't with us, without God, we just have the hurt, the pain, and the loss. With God, we have some comfort. I'd just like to emphasize at this point, God doesn't cause us Christians to robotically come before him and say, God, you're creator of the world, you're Father, you're over all, so therefore we just accept what happens in the world. We're going to look at Psalm 33 in a minute, but look at the other Psalms. Look at Psalm 88, where he cries out, God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? So we are allowed to cry out as Christians in our darkest days. But I think the encouragement is that we do cry out to God in faith. If God is sovereign, then there are challenges, but we are never, ever without hope. But if God is not sovereign, we still have the challenges. We just don't have the hope. If God is not sovereign, if the things that can happen outside of God's control, then everything that follows in the creed is in doubt. Towards the end of the creed, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Well, if God isn't in control, he's made me that promise, maybe it won't come true. But if God is sovereign, we can be assured of that. I think at times, especially when we face the challenges in life, it's understandable that there's a danger. We forget what God is like, his character, who he is, and what he's done. Everything we know about him and experience about him, in a sense, we forget the creed and all the truth contained. Sometimes I think, you know, life happens and we try and understand God through the prism of life, whereas actually we're encouraged to experience and know God and try and understand God in the light of that. Well, to try and help us unpick this a little bit more, we're going to look at Psalm 33. So please turn to it in your Bibles. It's on page 559 in the Church Bibles. And the psalm kind of highlights four ways of responding to God: to rejoice, to praise, to fear in the sense of having reverence, but also to trust. To rejoice, to praise, to fear, and to trust. So verses 1 to 3, where we're encouraged to rejoice, to praise. It says, rejoice in the Lord, praise the Lord, sing to him a new song. I wonder how often you and I do that. How often do we just praise, an outburst of praise to God? I may be wrong in this, but I tend to see praise as different to thanks. When I was brought up as a Christian, when I first became a Christian at 16, that was a model I was given of praise, sorry, thanks, and then the request. Praise is focused on God, who he is. So our praise might be, thank you, God, that you made this world. Thank you, God, that you're patient. Praise you that you're full of grace and mercy. Praise you that you're creator of this world. Whereas our thanks is about what God has done and is doing for us. And actually, I know sometimes when I'm burdened by my sin and I want to go straight to sorry and know God's forgiveness, just pausing to praise God and remembering that he is a God of grace, he is a God of love, that he is patient, really helps out. So this psalm encourages us to take time just to focus on God, who he is, how he is, and to praise him. And the verses go on to say, in a sense, why we should praise him. And verse 4 starts off by, praise God because of his character. God is faithful. Verse 4 says, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. We can trust God, just as when he created the world, he spoke and it happened. When God promises something, We know it will happen. And the Bible is full of God's promises being fulfilled. But actually, what's interesting when you look at those promises, most of those promises are fulfilled in the most difficult and torturous of circumstances. The promise to Abraham that he would have a son was not exactly a straightforward story. The fact that God promised all of us, mankind, that he would send his son as a savior is not without its challenges. So God keeps his promise, he keeps his word, even and perhaps especially in the most challenging of circumstances, because God is sovereign, God is ruling over all. And then verse 5, we're to praise God because he's committed to justice and righteousness. It says that he loves justice and righteousness. Well, we know we live in a world where there's great injustice, there's great wrong. But God is the one who will bring about justice. As it says later in this psalm, God does see everything that's taking place. There's nothing unseen. However it may look with human eyes here and now, one day justice and righteousness will prevail. And notice also in verse 5, it says that the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. The world can be a terrible place. There's great horrors on an individual, a national, and a global level. But if it were not for God's love and his presence in this world, we really would be in the pits of hell, without any sense of love or hope. So praise God that he is present and active by his love in the name of Jesus in the world today. And then it goes on to say we're to praise God because he's the creator of the world, verses 6 to 9. And as you scan those verses, we notice there's no limit to God's creation. The stars, the oceans, he's the creator of the world, and it's by his word, by his power. He is sovereign. And notice verse 8, as well as praise and rejoicing, we're to fear the Lord. Verse 8 says, let all the inhabitants of the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We do live in a world, don't we, in a society where there's a temptation to look down on God and say, hey God, you prove yourself to me. This psalm is a reminder. Actually, we're meant to come before God on the bended knee and say, God, you're an awesome God. You're a mighty, powerful God, a loving God. And verses 9 to 11, a reminder again that God is active in the world, that his plans and purposes are being worked out day by day. And then the second section of the psalm, verses 12 to 19, they focus on the fact because God is faithful and creator and at work, his people are blessed and we're to see with the eye of faith. If you have a look at verse 12, it says, happy is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen is his heritage. If we're Christians, if we know the forgiveness and love and the hope that's only found in Jesus, that's us. And that's the focus for the whole Bible, isn't it? God's rescue plan for mankind, God's people in God's presence. And one day we will be with him in heaven. We're members of his kingdom. And our journey to heaven may be a torturous path, but that's where we're heading, and we're assured of that because God is sovereign. And verses 13 to 19, again, focuses on the fact that we can sometimes look with human eyes, and humans might seem to be in control, and we may wonder where God is. Perhaps a slightly embarrassing admission, but I am a bit of a George Michael fan. And one of my favourite songs by George Michael, fortunately I won't say one of the other ones, but it is Praying for Time. And in the song Praying for Time, George Michael has these following lines. I guess somewhere along the way, God must have let us all out to play. Turned his back and all God's children crept out the back door. In a sense, George Michael was summing up the fact that many seem to have abandoned God. I think he was right. We see the outworkings of that in our society, in our world. But George Michael got a key part wrong. God has not turned his back. We may have, we may do, but God does not. God is present in this world by his steadfast love and his promises, and he's active in this world. Verse 15 emphasizes that, where it said, God made us and watches over us, even the thoughts of our hearts. God has not turned his back. Verses 16 to 17 maybe focus on those superpowers. You know, we go through society and there's a major leader in the world and they seem invincible. They have great armies. They have great might. Yet it's God is the one who's over all. He's a king who is reigning. And then verses 18 to 19, God is watching those who fear him. He has his eye on everyone. And that's a warning, of course, for those who ignore and do not follow God. But for those who know God, there's an assurance, a comfort, a hope. And then towards the end of the psalm, verses 20 to 22, is really our response to all of this. So verse 20 to 22, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. So we rejoice, we praise, we fear, we revere, but also we wait and trust. And did you notice verse 21? We trust in his holy name. We see with the eyes of faith. And to me, that took me back to our series on faith pictures. So I wonder if you can recall what your faith picture was. If you remember, I said my faith picture, it's an imperfect picture, but my faith picture was the umbrella. The umbrella is everything I know about God and experience about God. That he loves me, a wretched sinner. That he sent his son to die for me. That one day I'll be with him in heaven. That there's no situation in this life that I will encounter where God is not present. That's my umbrella of faith. The storms come, the rain comes in, the hail comes down. The umbrella gets battered, but I cling on to it. So when I experience life and I think, where is God? Where is your love? Where is your compassion? I can hold on to, what do I know about God? Well, he loves me enough to have sent his son for me. And this is an encouragement to hold on to our faith. In the context of Matthew 6, the other passage that we had read to us, it's clear that that's an encouragement not to lose sight of God, of who he is and what he's done, and to get lost in the here and now. In the final verse of that section in Matthew, it says this, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's to be our focus. And if we do that, that will have an impact on how we both view and experience life now. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. If God is sovereign, there are challenges, but we're never, ever without hope. But if God is not sovereign, we still face the challenges, but we're without hope. And just finally, there's a temptation, isn't there, when someone is going through a difficult time, just to read sections of the Bible about God being sovereign. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. It's true, and I think it's right to hold on to it and to realize that what's happening isn't outside of God's control. But I think also we can cry out to God as the psalmists do. And more than anything, we need to remember God is our creator, but he's our Father God. And he loves us with a love that knows no boundaries, that is measureless. And in the midst of the challenges of life, where those without God are hopeless, we as Christians are never without hope. For that person who's lost everything in the Hurricane Irma, if they don't know God, if they don't believe that God is sovereign, then there's just chaos. There's just bad luck. There's just darkness. But if they're Christian, they've still lost everything. They're still hurting. They're still in pain. But they haven't lost God. They haven't lost his presence. They haven't lost his hope. And they haven't lost the assurance that somehow in the chaos, this is not outside of his control. I believe in many of those situations, we'll never individually fully understand why they take place. But it's holding on to the fact that it's not outside of God's control and he is with us. I'm sure I'm not alone, but that sometimes it does cross my mind. What would happen? What would I do if something terrible happened in my life? Though for some reason God allowed a great darkness. If something happened to Sarah, my wife, or one of my children. Usually just the very thought of it is enough to bring me to tears, let alone the reality of should it happen. I can't really know what would happen or how I would be. But I did read a book that I found very helpful, a book by Don Carson called How Long, O Lord? And it's a book about God being sovereign and suffering. It is actually one of the most encouraging books I've read. So if this is something you want to look into more, then as well as looking into the Bible, I would recommend that book. One of the things Don Carson encourages us to do, as well as keeping close to God, is to pray ahead of difficult times. So for the moment life seems okay, we should be giving thanks. But we should also be praying, Lord, when life is hard, when those challenges come, please keep me close to you. Please keep my faith in you. May I keep a sense of your presence and your love, even and perhaps especially in those darkest moments. Claim that promise that God never leaves us, that he's present in every situation. God is sovereign. That means his promises are assured, the forgiveness of sins, his presence with us now, the hope of heaven. And it also means that nothing that happens in this life is outside of his control, and he's present in any and every situation. What an amazing God we have, one worthy of praise, reverence, and trust. Do you believe and trust in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Amen.